This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're listening to the voice from the head of the lake station, KUWS. This is Jack McKenna reminding you, grow your own, can your own for victory. It's Monday, June 5th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the World News Roundup and a major victory. Ray Paulson is in with the sports, and we have the best doggone music from the 1944 hit parade. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company's Ready Kilowatt says, don't waste electricity just because it isn't rationed. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Allies have taken Rome. King Victor has abdicated his throne, and the Allied armies are pushing onward. We begin our World Shortwave Report on this historic day from Noland Norgard in Rome.
This is Rome, your correspondent Noland Norgard reporting. Allied headquarters announced at noon that the Fifth Army was now in control of Rome. With hardly a look at the ancient seat of civilization, the Fifth Army then thundered across the Tiber today toward northern Italy in pursuit of the German 10th and 14th Armies. After 9 months of bitter fighting and sacrifice, Rome becomes the first Axis power city to fall into Allied hands. Last-ditch German rearguard actions died within the shadows of the Roman Forum. Bare-chested Italian partisans fought hand-to-hand against Nazi and fascist soldiers in the streets of Rome in this brief battle for liberation. Italians cheered as Allied armies and tanks threaded their way through the city streets. Women hugged and kissed the bearded and grimy liberators. Despite these sporadic clashes, which took place even though the Germans had declared Rome an open city, the Italian capital came through with its cultural and religious treasures unscathed for the most part. Police officers tell me all is quiet at Vatican City, where the Pope has been a virtual prisoner of German bayonets since the invasion began in September. The Pope spent the hours of violent liberation in prayer. The Swiss Guard has been doubled to prevent an influx of refugees. General Sir Harold Alexander began the massive Allied offensive May 11th with the objective of crushing the German 10th and 14th Armies. That remains to be carried out. But German Field Marshal Albert Kesselring's armies remain in great danger as the Allied 5th and 8th Armies press on. In Rome, this is Noland Norgard calling James Roper.
This is James Roper with the 5th Army in Rome. As we reached the outskirts of Rome yesterday, word ran around that the Germans had pulled out. Rome was an open city. All we had to do was drive in. But we found out differently as our Jeep rolled down empty Highway 6. We were the lead car of three others loaded with correspondents and photographers, all unarmed. With me in the Jeep were Reynolds Packard of United Press and Ed Johnson of the Chicago Sun. As we approached an intersection, we knew something was wrong. There, coming down the crossroad toward us, was a German Jeep. I don't know who was more scared, but the Germans spun around to retreat just 50 yards from our vehicle. I was looking a Nazi machine gun right in the eye. Even though they could have killed us all, they drove into a ditch and piled out. We moved down the road to a column of American tanks. I hopped on the back of a Sherman commanded by Corporal Fred Lance of Scranton, Pennsylvania. We headed into Rome, but a radio message warned of enemy guns farther down the highway. Infantrymen and I piled off the tank and walked behind it for protection. A little bit later, I could hear German Messerschmitts strafing the ground. Even so, I heard the snoring of First Lieutenant William Carey of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He didn't wake up until a shell burst sprayed him with dirt. Along the road were the bodies of two American soldiers, their faces covered by jackets and bunches of red poppies in their wax-colored hands. They were grim reminders of the dangers ahead. With the Fifth Army in Rome, this is James Roper, calling Stockholm. Come in, Sweden.
This is Stockholm, neutral Sweden calling. Alfred M. Schock reporting. The German people first learned of the fall of Rome at 7 a.m. broadcast this morning. The Berlin press is calling the Allied victory a loss of prestige for Germany. The German press justified the loss as saying this was a strategic pullout by General Kesselring, and the city itself is not of military importance. It says Kesselring's forces made a lightning retreat from Rome to new positions north of the Tiber and Rome. All German dispatches emphasize the task of feeding Rome's more than 1 million people and assert this will be a severe headache for the Allies. The entry ended with this quixotic remark, quoting now, "All roads lead to Berlin," unquote. In Stockholm, this is Alfred M. Schock, calling Vatican City.
This is Vatican City, Eleanor Packard reporting. Vatican City has not been damaged in any way by the extensive Allied bombing campaigns. That fact was confirmed to me today as I made my way onto Vatican territory. U.S. envoy to the Vatican, Mr. Harold Tittman, also confirmed that Japanese and German envoys have decided to remain in Vatican City. The attitude of Pope Pius will remain the same as it was during Nazi occupation. The Vatican is strictly neutral. I was allowed to enter St. Peter's Cathedral and Rome Vatican City, but I was not allowed into the part of the city where Pope Pius and diplomats reside. Ambassador Tittman, his wife, and two sons are free to wander around Rome for the first time in 2 years and 25 days since Mussolini declared war on the United States. As for the Pope himself, Mr. Tittman told me he's in good health, but deeply distressed by all the fighting going on around the world. In Vatican City, this is Eleanor Packard.
This just in from Pearl Harbor. American bombers from the South and Central Pacific hammered the Japanese stronghold of Truk in the Carolines for two successive days. The report also says that 10 Japanese Zeros were shot down, with no American planes lost. Even so, many Liberator bombers were damaged, and three American crewmen were killed and four wounded. Conservative Democrats plan to nominate former Postmaster James Farley at the Democratic Convention. Anti-fourth-term Democrats are in a small minority, and Mr. Farley has not yet consented to being on the ballot. A false flash of the invasion of Europe stirred the nation on Saturday. An erroneous flash was sent from the Associated Press in London. It said that General Eisenhower's headquarters announced the landing in France. Apparently, a 22-year-old British girl, Joan Ellis, had punched out the words while practicing on a machine that was not in use. Shortly after that, Miss Ellis was given a real communique cleared by the censors, which she dutifully typed out. But she neglected to tear off the practice part, so when she sent the legitimate message, she also sent the invasion flash. A kill note was sent within 2 minutes, but radio networks had already broadcast the bulletin. The report was announced at ballparks and movie theaters, and church bells began ringing. Fans at the polo ground stood and observed 1 minute of silence. In Valdosta, Georgia, air raid sirens were sounded, and Kaiser Shipyard employees in Richmond, California, they stopped work. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Right you are, Lou. The invasion jitters are everywhere. That's all people talk about these days. You know, a good newsman would get the scoop on when D-Day will come.
And a good announcer will talk about our sponsors, too.
Oh, right you are, Lou. While the cost of living has been climbing up, the cost of electric service has been dropping down. That's true no matter what year you choose to set as sea level. 3 years ago with the war approaching, 10 years ago in deep depression, or 15 years ago in boom times. Actually, in the last 15 years, the cost of electricity has come down so far that the average American family gets about twice as much for its money today as it did then. In the light of other wartime costs and taxes, electricity is just about the biggest bargain in your budget, folks. The reasons are as many as the men and women who work for your local electric company. That word from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Blue.
The death of a Superior man missing since the Japanese invasion of the Philippines has been confirmed. 21-year-old Lieutenant Russell Hoffman was reported missing in action May the 9th, 1942. He was stationed on the island of Cebu in the Philippines. His mother, Mrs. Ethel Hoffman of East First Street, received a telegram from the War Department saying that he's now presumed dead. Lieutenant Hoffman was wounded when the Japanese bombed Nichols Field in Manila. His mother says she last heard from her son April the 9th, 1942. Lieutenant Hoffman graduated from Superior East High School in 1939 and attended the Itasca Presbyterian Church. The weekend deluge of rain is forcing people in Ashland County to evacuate their homes and is causing officials to fear for the Patterson Park Dam. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
The situation is urgent, Lou. Floodwaters are roaring over Highway 35 in the Chaffee area south of Patterson Park. Highways are closed and the concrete bridge and dam at Patterson Park is in danger. The surge of water prompted the dynamiting of the dam to lower the lake level and save the 75-foot bridge and dam. Park officials doubt the water will reside anytime soon, and Highway 35 will be closed for at least 3 more days. 4 inches of rain fell this weekend, and winds whipped up to 60 miles an hour. The Odena Indian Village along Lake Superior in Ashland County had to evacuate people as floodwaters from the converging White and Bad Rivers overflowed the banks. Rain has been continuous in Odena Saturday, Sunday, and into this morning. Railroad tracks were washed out. Lights went off and on throughout the weekend in Odena, and a lightning strike struck St. Mary's School, removing the belfry and tearing a huge hole in the roof. Homeowners on the Brule River kept an eagle eye on their summer homes and cabins. The Brule's running 3.5 feet above normal, right up to the Brule River Bridge. Almost 5 inches of rain have fallen since Friday. Mellon in Ashland County suffered particularly heavy damage. Employees at the Pinocchi Veneer Company at the Mellon plant worked all night to fight the rising Bad River. Floodwaters reached the window levels of the veneer plant. East and North Mellon faced flooding from the rampaging Devil's Creek, overflowing the roads and threatening homes. Mellon was without power last night, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. A raid on a bar in Superior's North End Saturday night had the owner and 15 patrons arrested for gambling. Joe Petrosky is the keeper of the establishment at 430 Tower Avenue. He paid a $50 fine for operating a gambling house. Some of the patrons arrested have already paid a $5 fine, including Axel Foss, Lewis Myers, Max Ostisch, Eno Baljan, and Mike Obrunsky. A wave of car thefts blamed on roving juvenile gangs is under investigation. Superior Police Chief Art Buchanan says if you don't lock your car, you might just as well leave your belongings at the curbstone. A search is underway in Michigan's Upper Peninsula for 3 escaped German prisoners of war. Michigan State Police are looking for the men who apparently escaped in an old car. They escaped from Camp Autrain, 44 miles east of Marquette. Apparently, one of them speaks fluent English. Superior's last Civil War veteran, Colonel C.L. Hooker, will leave Virginia, Minnesota, where he's staying with his son, and go to Sheboygan June the 11th. Colonel Hooker will preside over the Grand Army encampment there. The 103-year-old is said to be in good spirits and in good health. A ship name for a Wisconsin man who gave his life to protect his superior officers will be launched in West Duluth June the 12th. The Walter Butler Shipyard in Riverside will launch the USS Elmer Burr. Burr was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor after he was killed by throwing himself on a grenade near a group of officers in the South Pacific. Sergeant Burr's widow will attend, traveling from Menasha. Mrs. George Tweed of Duluth will christen the USS Burr. And finally, Jack, union members at the Globe Shipyard in Superior threw a stag party for management. Union leader William Eddy was the toastmaster. 150 men attended at the Vasa Temple. Globe Shipyard manager Clarence Scampser was presented with a wristwatch from the men.
Hey, Lou, you don't think those German POWs will make their way over to Superior, do you?
Unlikely. Everyone's on the lookout for them. It's a good 7 hours from there to here, and they need gas coupons. They don't issue rationing coupons to POWs.
Well, maybe they figure if they come here, they can stow away on a ship bound for Europe. But not before coming to the radio station to broadcast some of their ridiculous propaganda.
Your world is a very different place, isn't it?
Go ahead, make fun. Won't you be sorry if a good speaking Kraut POW takes over the radio station? Then I'd have the last laugh. As we've been doing for the past couple of weeks, we have two forecasts for you. For this June the 5th, 1944, first from London, the invasion forecast. Rain clouds have cleared over Dover Strait. A wind is making the channel choppy, but visibility is good. For our neck of the woods, occasional rain tonight and tomorrow, and cool, naturally. Tonight's low will be 38 degrees, with a high tomorrow of just 56. Next, though, is some great music, friends. Let's kick it off with this new one from Harry James and Kitty Callan, and I'm beginning to see the light on the Martin and McKenna Show. Harry James and his orchestra with Kitty Callan, and I'm beginning to see the light on station KUWS. Friends, Wisconsin telephone company manager M.M. Calhoun urges you to be good telephone neighbors. Copper and other materials are needed for the shooting side of the war, so they cannot build new telephone lines. So more and more people are on party lines, and probably more and more people are listening on those party lines. To get the best service out of your party line, please keep your conversations brief. Allow enough time between calls for others to use the line. Answer calls promptly and replace the receiver carefully when the line is in use. You don't want to be a phone hog. Hey, Lou?
Hey, Jack.
So if those three escaped Nazis make their way to Superior, should I hide my Limburger cheese?
Please, hide the cheese.
Well, it's hard to hide Limburger, what with its distinctive aroma.
Or terrible smell.
Now, here's another new number that I sure like, and I know you'll enjoy. This is the Pied Pipers and Dream on the Martin and McKenna Show. That's a good one. The Pied Pipers and Dream on Station KUWS.
Let me introduce Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy with today's editorial. Good evening, sir.
Chief Buchanan's getting a few calls from people who think they've spotted the German POWs. It's probably just a panicky, jittery few who let their imaginations run wild.
I'm locking the doors. That's all there is to it. You know, the first thing those Nazis do is seize radio stations.
Jack seems rather panicky.
And jittery, with an imagination running wild.
Today's editorial is no stretch of the imagination. The honeymoon appears over between President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill, and that could be the answer to the prayers of Germany as their last hope to win the war. FDR has publicly disagreed with Mr. Churchill's praise for Spain's dictator, Francisco Franco. Men are still rotting in his prisons who opposed him during that bloody civil war that nearly destroyed Spain in the late 1930s. Another widening division between the two men is Marshal Joe Stalin. Stalin and Roosevelt are getting along just fine, but red-baiting, red-hating Winston Churchill came away from the recent Tehran conference with ill will. And FDR did nothing to try to mend that fence. FDR also favors independence for India and returning Hong Kong to China. Churchill wants to keep his empire. What makes matters worse Yes, that shock columnists like Walter Winchell and Drew Pearson are doing their best to widen the breach by attacking Churchill. So, if the greatly anticipated D-Day invasion is to be successful, the two must return to the 1941 spirit of the Atlantic Charter and work together to defeat Germany, especially now that Italy is out of the war with the capture today of Rome. Lou?
Superior Evening Telegram publisher, Morgan Murphy.
Hey, by the looks of Jack, you'd better not so much as say gesundheit. If somebody sneezes, he's a bit worked up.
Well, he'll get over it. It's those pre-invasion jitters.
Invasion? What, did the invasion start? What?
No, everything is fine. It's time for music right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, music, yeah. That always soothes the nerves. Here's one for those escaped Nazis. This is the Ink Spots and Don't Get Around Much Anymore on the McKenna and Martin Show, or the other way around.
When I'm not playing solitaire, I take a book down from the shelf. And what with programs on the air, I keep pretty much to myself, Mr. Saturday Dance. Heard the crowd at the floor, couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore. Thought I'd visit the club, got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about you. Don't get around much anymore. Oh, darling, I guess my mind's more at ease. But nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited on days. Might have gone, but what for? Awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore. Different without you, don't get around much anymore. Don't get around much anymore. Don't get around much anymore.
The Ink Spots, and Don't Get Around Much Anymore on Station KUWS.
Achtung, Achtung.
Krauts, call
open
the Krauts. I mean, call the cops.
Achtung.
You raid. Now, that's a dirty trick.
I got you that time, Jack. Got you that time. It's your fault.
You've got yourself all worked up over nothing.
Be still, my heart. I'll get you for that, buddy.
Yeah, I'll bet you will somewhere. Hey, sport fans. Jimmy Dykes of the onrushing White Sox has moved his team into the first division of the American League. It comes as his club swept the Senators of Washington in a doubleheader Sunday, giving the Pale Sox 6 wins in a row. Gordon Maltzberger won his 5th game in relief. The St. Louis Browns are in first place in the junior circuit, leading Connie Mack's Philadelphia Athletics by a game, and the Tigers of Detroit split a pair with the Red Sox. winning behind the pitching of Dizzy Trout. At Wrigley Field, the Cubs didn't do too bad. An error by Brooklyn Dodger Eddie Bozinski allowed two unearned runs to score in the ninth, giving the Cubbies a win in the first game of their doubleheader yesterday. The second game ended 9-9, with the game called on account of darkness. With Gerald Walker starring at bat for the Cincinnati Reds, the Reds took a pair from the Boston Braves behind the hurling of rookie Arnold Carter. Closer to home, the Ashland Coast Guard Reserves beat the Mellon City team 11-8 in a game of Diamond Ball Friday. Played on the Mellon High School field, the game eventually ended in the seventh inning on account of rain. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. And you're a good sport, Jack.
Sheesh. I'll tell you, I never heard of most of those baseball guys. Arnold Carter? Eddie Bozinski? Gordon Maltzberger?
Well, it's the war. A lot of guys who wouldn't normally make the big leagues are playing these days. And, you know, Jack, you might not be too far off with that idea of yours that those POWs might make their way to Superior. Say, come to think of it, there's three fellas roaming the hallway out there. I've never seen them before. They were asking all kinds of strange questions, too. Stuff about the shipyards and getting food and petrol. You know, that was weird. They asked for petrol instead of gas.
Did they talk German, like?
Oh, I don't know. Just one guy talked. The others kind of stood behind him. Kind of looked like they were casing the joint.
It's probably nothing, Ray. Nothing. You're probably just jittery. Yeah, you're letting your imagination run away with you. Look at me. You don't see me panicking. It's business as usual. Here's the great sound of the Andrew Sisters and what's sure to be a brand new hit, Apple Blossom Time, on the always calm and collected Martin and McKenna Show. New in the 1944 hit parade, That's the Andrews sisters and Apple Blossom Time on station KUWS.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm looking for Mr. Lewis Martin, please.
Oh, cute. Ray put you up to this, right?
Sorry. I must see Herr Martin, please.
You don't scare me. This isn't working. You're no German POW. But I've got to say, you've got a good accent.
I'm no POW. I just need to speak to your newsman. He has some information I need about the shipyards here.
So, you deny you're a POW? But you want to know about the shipyards. Very interesting. Let me think this through. If you admit to being a POW, then you can't be one. But if you say you're not, then you must be the real thing. Call Chief Buchanan. Call the Women's Auxiliary. Call the FCC, Lou.
The Kinderziehens and Trailer Iron Kennegas is
I heard some hysterical, panicky sounds coming from here.
And jittery, definitely jittery. Look, who's here?
You must be the visitor from the Milwaukee Shipbuilding Company touring our shipyards.
Hans Promens is the name. Everyone calls me Hank.
Hank?
Follow me, and I'll give you a rundown in the newsroom. All right, Jack?
I'm fine. Just fine. Maybe a little jittery, but go ahead. I'll see you later.
See you later.
I think I frightened him.
He can be a little jittery sometimes.
That's a wrap, folks. Boy, stay tuned for I Love a Mystery, which is not for the jittery folks, followed by Ed Sullivan. Information, please, and Blondie. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Hank doesn't kidnap Lou. For Lou and Ray, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.